begin the current daf, Masechtas Yuma, daf Lametes. Begin 14 lines down from the top of the Yomid, where we continue and begin the fourth paragraph of Masechtas Yuma. Now, the entire Masechta basically follows along the chronological order of the beginning of the Kohen Gadol when he separated 7 days before until the completion of his Avodah on Yom Kippur. Now, where we're holding right now in that order is that the Kohen Gadol has already done the Avodah in the morning of the Tamid Shel Shachar, where his Big Day Zav. That was phase one. Then he transitions to phase two into his Big Day Lavan. We spoke about how he goes immersed in himself in the mikveh. There's Kiddush Dam Reglaim before and after. He puts on the white linen garments. Then he does Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach, is where he does the smicha and he does the vidui on his par, his own personal one for his family and for the Kahanim. So he does the vidui the first time. Then, it's where we had been saying at the end of the previous parak, he goes to the eastern part of the Azara in the north, and that's where he goes and he does the lottery of the two Se'irim. One goes Lashem and one goes Lazal, and that's where our Mishnah continues with that. That's where we are in the second part of the second phase of being in this Big Day Lavan. So it's the first time he puts on his white linen garments. He already did the Vida and his power. Now he's choosing with the lottery from the two identical Se'irim that he goes, one Lashem, one Lazal. So again, this is a continuation of the previous Mishnah on the Lamed Zayin and Aleph that says that there was a box over there. So our Mishnah continues on that theme. So Taraf Bekalfi. So the Kohen Gadol, he would snatch from the box, and literally it had to be like that he would just grab it out of the box, the lottery. The Helosh Negarolis, and he would lift out from the box the two lotteries, one in his right hand, one in his left hand. And he had these two Se'irim, the two he-goats, on either side of him, one on the right of him, one on the left. And he would put the lottery that came in his right hand on the one of the Seir on the right side. As the Mishnah tells us, Echad Kasav Lav Lashem, one of them was written on it Lashem. Echad Kasav Lav Lazazel, one of them had written on it Lazazel. And again, the one on the right hand, whichever he picked out, either Lashem, Lazazel, would go on the right one, and the left one would go on the left one. Now, Haskan B'minoi, the Skan, the deputy, would be towards his right, a little bit recessed, like somewhere on like this triangle. He would be on the right side. Veresh Beis Av Mismaylei, and the head of the Beis Av of that day, every day was a different Beis Av that did the Avodah in the Beis Av Mikdash. Mismaylei would be on his left side. Now, Im Shel Shem Ola B'minoi, if the one of that was used for Shem, which means that was the Sar, the Hanasa Bifnim, that was done the Avodah of its blood inside the Beis Av Mikdash on the day of Kippurim, then Haskan Oymaloi, so if that came up in the right hand, so the deputy who was by his right would tell him, Ishi Kohen Gadol, my master, the Kohen Gadol, Hagbi Yemincha, lift up your right hand, show that that's the one Lashem. Vib Shel Shem Ola B'smoyle, if the one for Hashem, the one that was done inside, was in the left hand, then Marish Beis Av Oymaloi, then the head of the Beis Av who was by his left, he would tell him, Ishi Kohen Gadol, my master, the Kohen Gadol, Hagbi Smolcha, lift up your left hand to show that's the one that's going Lashem. Now, Nostan al Shnei Asirim, so he'd put each lottery, whichever one was the one that came on that side next to it, he would put on that he-goat. V'oimer, and then he would say on the one that would be put on Lashem, Lashem Chatas, that for Hashem is the Chatas. Pshmol Oimer, he argues, he says, Lo Yitzarach Lemechatas, he didn't have to say the word Chatas, Ela Lashem, he only had to say Lashem, and then he would put it on that Sa'ir, but he didn't have to say that Lashem Chatas. Behein Oyin Acharav, and the people who would hear him say the Shem Hashem, the Shem Avaya, then the four letter name of Hashem, they would respond Baruch Shem, it should be blessed the name Kvay Machusa, the honor of his kingdom Liolam Vod, forever and ever. Now the Gemara asks, in the way of explanation of our Mishnah, Lomali Taruf Bekalfi, why do you have to snatch in the box? And it sounds like he couldn't just lift it out; he had to snatch it out. So that the Gemara answers Kihicha Deloy Nechavin, so that he should not intend that he should feel around which one does he think is the one that has Hashem's name written on it, Velishkal, and then to take that one with his right hand. And the reason is, as the Gemara will explain shortly, it was a good omen if the one Lashem came up in his right hand. So we didn't want him to do that because it had to be by way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Geirul, which one should be which, but if he's going to feel around, he's going to be manipulating that. We didn't want that to happen, so he had to snatch it out, and whichever one came out, in which hand, that's the one that came out. Now, Amar Rava, Rava tells us that Kalfi Shal Eis Ha'isa, the box was made out of wood, Vishal Chol Ha'isa was also unconsecrated, it was not Kaddish, and also Ve'in Machzekes El Shtei Yadayim. And then a third component of it was that it only had room for two hands. So on that, the Gemara asks, Maskev L'Ravina, it says, Bishloim Ve'in Machzekes El Shtei Yadayim, I understand that it only had room for two hands, and that was purposeful, Again, going to the same idea that he shouldn't be able to move his hands around and feel around and then take. If it's only room for two hands that he's sticking in, so then whichever one is on which side is going to be the one that's pulled out, and he can't manipulate that. El Shachayil, but this that he said that it was unconsecrated. Nikdisha, what do you mean? Why isn't it consecrated? All the avoidis in the base of Mikdash are done with Kaddish Kalim, so why was this box not consecrated? So that the Gemara answers, Im Kain, if it was Kaddish, then have a likli sharis shalates. Then it would be a sanctified vessel in the base of Mikdash that was made out of wood. Now, v'kli sharis to eitz le'avdin. We don't make kli sharis that are used in the base of Mikdash made out of wood. But then the Gemara asks, okay, but v'navdu dechesef, so make it out of silver, v'navdu zav, make it out of gold. You're saying they didn't sanctify it because it's not proper to have one made out of wood. So don't make it out of wood, make it out of silver and gold. The Gemara answers, ha'tayra chasa amamayin shal Yisrael. The Torah is careful, is compassionate about the money of the Jewish people. As Rashi brings a proof from a pasuk in Midyukur Yadalad, it says in the pasuk, v'tziv ha'koyin, the koyin would command regarding the house that had a neg on it, Ufinus abayis, take out all the vessels that they shouldn't become tummy. Now, as Rashi tells us, what is the Torah concerned about? Only on these small earthenware vessels, because everything else, even if they become tummy, once he says that this house is tummy, you could immerse it in the mikvah. So it must be only earthenware jugs and flasks and things like that, which cannot be purified in the mikvah. Now, if the Torah is concerned about something that's, whatever, it's not worth a lot of money, most definitely the Torah is concerned a lot of money, which would be the money of making a box made out of gold. And moreover, if the Torah is concerned about the money on someone that his house has tzaras, who obviously on some level is not such a great person, so most definitely the money of the righteous people who they have to contribute to the funds of the Beis HaMikdash, most definitely the Torah is not going to require such a thing, and therefore we didn't want to make them to have to make a box out of gold, and they only made it out of wood, and that's why it wasn't sanctified, because you cannot have a kli sharis made out of wood. Now the Gemara comments that Masnitin Deloike Haitan, our Mishnah, obviously does not hold like the opinion of the following Tanya. The Tanya, like Linda Brysa, Rabbi Yehuda Oimim Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer that Hasgan V'Koyin Godol Machnisin Yadon B'Kalfi. Not like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that the Koyin Godol puts in his two hands, one his right and his left, and then whichever one comes in and which one, that's the one. Rabbi Yehuda says that no. He says that the deputy and the Koyin Godol both stick in their right hands into the box. Now, in B'Minishal Koyin Godol Oilo, if it came up in the one of Lashem came up in the right hand of the Kohen Gadol, then Haskan Oimelo, then the deputy would tell the Kohen Gadol, Ishi Kohen Gadol, my master the Kohen Gadol, Hagbi Mincha, lift up your right hand. Vim b'minish l'skan oimelo. If, however, the Kohen Gadol got the one La'azazel, and the one La'ashem came up in the hand of the deputy, then Rish Beis Av Oimelo, the Kohen Gadol, then the head of the Beis Av, would tell the Kohen Gadol, Daber Milach, say your words. In other words, say La'ashem Chatas. Now, the Gemara asks on this basis, okay, it's just obviously that this Tana Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on the Tana of our Mishnah because it wasn't the Kohen Gadol with his two hands. Rather, it was the right hand of the Kohen Gadol and the right hand of the deputy. However, the Gemara asked, but regarding one of the components that Rabbi Yehuda said, V'neima le'iskan, the Gemara asks, why if the Kohen Gadol picks it up, the skan tells him to say Lashem Chatas, and however, but if the skan picks it up, then the Rish Beis Av tells the Kohen Gadol, why don't they tell the skan to say what he picked up? Or the skan should tell the Kohen Gadol. But why is it that the Reish Beis Av is telling the Kohen Gadol? So that the Gemara answers that Kivin Dele Solik B'Yadeh. Since the Kohen Gadol is not the one that ended up picking up the one Lashem, rather it came up in the hand of the skan, so Chol Shadayte, he would have a Chalisha Sadas, he would feel uncomfortable, the Kohen Gadol, if they tell him from the skan, and therefore they wanted to keep the skan out of it. If he's the one that's picking it up, we'd rather have the Reish Beis Av tell the Kohen Gadol that he doesn't feel uncomfortable, that is the one, the Reish Beis Av, that it was a skan that he picked up, and he tells him, look, say what I picked up. We don't want it to happen because of that uncomfortable feeling, and that's why it was the Reish Beis Av who told the Kohen Gadol what to say. So, fine, so the Gemara has a machlokes regarding how the process went, and that's the Gemara has b'mai kamifkei. So what is the understanding of this machlokes between our Tana of our Mishnah and Rabbi Yehuda, if it was the Kohen Gadol with his two hands, or both right hands of the Kohen Gadol and of the skan? So now the Gemara says, Marsav, Rabbi Yehuda held the town of the Braisa. You mean the Diskan, Adif Mismal, the Kohen Gadol. The right hand of the attendant, of the deputy, is better than the left hand of the Kohen Gadol. So we're saying that possibly the left hand might be the one picking up Lashem. So we'd rather have the right hand of the Diskan than the left hand of the Kohen Gadol. Mar Saba, however, the town of Armishna held that no kiadodininu, they're the same, and therefore we just had the Kohen Gadol do it, and either way, if he has Lashem in the right hand or the left hand, it would be the same as if the Skan was doing it with his own right hand. Now the Gemara asks, Uman hai Tana de Pliga led Rabbi Yehuda. So our Mishnah is arguing Rabbi Yehuda. Who is that Tana that we find elsewhere that says not like Rabbi Yehuda and says that it wasn't with two right hands of the Kohen Gadol and the Skan, but rather it was the Kohen Gadol with both of his hands? So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Chanina Skana Kahanam, the Tana of our Mishnah, is Rabbi Chanina, who he himself was the Skana Kahanam. The Tana of the Braisa, Rabbi Chanina Skana Kahanam, Omer, he says, Lama Skan Mimina. Why was the Skan, the deputy there to the right of the Kohen Gadol? What was his purpose? What was the utility of him over there? So that he says, Shem Irabai Psul B'Kohen Gadol, if something of invalidating would happen to the Kohen Gadol, so Nichnas Skan, the Meshamash Tachdus, so the Skan would be ready right away to go ahead and serve instead of the Kohen Gadol. However, one could infer, but as long as no invalidating factor happened to the Kohen Gadol, then the Skan did not do anything, and you're right, he had no purpose being there, so obviously he's not like Rabbi Yehuda, who said that of course he was there, because his right hand went to pick off in the lottery, so therefore Rabbi Chanina Skan HaKohen must be the town of our Mishnah, who holds that no, he did not, and only the Kohen Gadol put in his two hands to do the lottery. Now, regarding the lottery, and also regarding other miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara brings the following brisa. Turn up on, we'll learn the brisa. Arbam Shana Shashimish Shimon HaTzadik. For the 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol, there were many, many miracles that happened constantly. First of all, Hayigayrul Oyla Bimin, the lot of Lashem always came up in his right hand. As we said, that was a good omen that was coming in the right hand. But Mikan V'Yelech, after Shimon HaTzadik, Pamim Oyla Bimin, sometimes when the Kohen Gadol would reach out, it would come up with the right hand. And Pamim Oyla B'Smol, but sometimes it would come up in the left hand. Similarly, the strip of red wool which was tied around the head of the Seir HaMashtalech, which was the higot that was thrown off Lazazel down the cliff, Malbin, it would always turn white from itself. And that was again an omen of Simon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was forgiving the sins of the Jewish people. As a pasuk in Yeshaya says, Im yuchatoechem kashonim, if your sins will be like red, then kashalig yalbima, then they'll become white like snow. That was the omen that was in the times of Shimon HaTzadik. That always happened. Kama elach, after the times of Shimon HaTzadik, then pa'amim album, sometimes it would turn white. And pa'amim enam album, sometimes it would not turn white. Similarly, other miracle, v'hayinir ma'rabi daylik. The western lamp of the menorah was always lit. And what that means is, even after all the other Neres had extinguished, the western lamp was always lit. And that is, even though he started the candle lighting, the Kohen Gadol, at the evening time, from the western one, that was the one that he ended up, the last one, cleaning out in the morning. And that was an edus, it was a testimony that the Divine Spirit rested amongst the Jewish people. As the Pasuk says, it's called Mechutz LaPareches HaEdus, that it was outside of the Pareches of the testimony. And the Gemara Masech LeShabbos says, what was the testimony? It was a testimony for everyone that came that the Shechinah was rested amongst the Jewish people. As the Gemara there says, what was the testimony? How did we see that the Shechinah was there in the Beis HaMikdash? That was the Ner Maravi, that was the western lamp, where it had the same amount of oil as all the other lamps. And yet, even though it started the Avodah of the lighting from that one, it was the last one that he ended with, and it was still lit. Now, there happens to be a machlekes, which one is the Ner Maravi, which one is the westernmost of the lamps of the menorah. Now, there's a machlekes, Masechtas Menachas, Dav Tzadiches, which way the menorah was placed. And that is according to the one that says that the seven lamps were placed from east to west. So then the western one is the one that's called, in other words, if you're coming into the Heichel, facing where the menorah is, so then it's aligned with the person going from east to west. So then the second lamp, from when one enters from the east, that's called the western one, because the one right when you come in is on the east. The second one from there is called the Ner Maravi, which is after the first one on the east. That would be the one that would be the last one still lit. Now, according to the one that says that the menorah was placed from north to south, which would mean that it would be perpendicular to the person if he's coming in, that he would be facing that, then the middle one would be the one that would be leaning along, would be the one towards the west. That was called the Ner Maravi. And all the other six lamps would be facing towards the middle one, which was the Ner Maravi, as the Pasuk B'Midbar Ches says, El Mul Pnei HaMenorah, they would all be facing towards the middle of the menorah. That's the middle one, would be the Iru Neiris of the Shisha Kanma of all the other six ones. Now, either it means the middle one, or it's the second one from the east, whichever one it was always lit, even though it had the same amount of oil and the other ones had gone out. That was the Siman, the Eidus, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina is there. After the times of Shem Natsandik, sometimes it was still lit, and sometimes it already extinguished. Another miracle, the fire of the pyre that was on the Mizbeach was kept on going strong. It kept on being lit without the need for the Kohen to keep on adding firewood during the day. And therefore the Kohen did not have to bring firewood to the Maracha from when they had organized already the Maracha in the morning, which was the first thing done in the morning. Except for the two logs of wood which they would put on in the evening, which that's an obligation to do, as we explained in the previous parak, and therefore that's what they had done, just to fulfill the mitzvah of Eitzim. But besides for that, there was no need to add, because it was miraculous how the fire kept on going and going without a need to add firewood. But after the times of Shemnat Tzadik, sometimes it would continue going strong, and sometimes it would not continue going strong. And therefore the Kohanim could not stop bringing firewood to the Maracha, to the pyre, the entire day, because it kept on burning the flames of all the Karbonos being sacrificed, and they had to keep on bringing firewood because they didn't merit this miracle as it was in the times of Shemnat Tzadik. Another miracle, Nishtalcha Bracha Ba'imer, there was blessing in the different things that were brought in the breads, that is of the barley offering of the Karban Omer brought on the second day of Pesach, Ubishtei HaLechem, and the two breads that are brought made out of wheat flour that's brought on Shavuos, Ubalechem Aponim, the showbreads that are brought every single week on Shabbos, and the Chol Koin Shemegiyah Kezayis, and therefore any kind that got even the size of a Kezayis of those breads, Yesh Oichle B'Sabbah, some would eat just the Kezayis and be satiated, and some people would even eat and even leave over from the gezayis. That's how much blessing there was in that bread that it satiated. After the times of Shemnat Tzadik, Nishtalcha Meira, there was a curse that it wouldn't satisfy. And the Karban Omer, B'Shtei HaLechem, B'Lechem Aponim. And therefore, V'Chol Koin Magia Kafoil, every Koin would get the size of a bean, not even of a gezayis. Now, once the Kohanim saw that it's not satiating because there's a curse in the breads, So the righteous, they would remove themselves from even partaking of it. However, in the days of Shemnat Tzadik, even if someone gets the size of a poil, of a bean, they wouldn't remove themselves because even a very small piece could satiate. However, later on they stopped. But the gluttons, they would grab and take. No one was eating because what's the point? They would grab and eat. Now, Ma'isa Be'echad, once happened, that someone took his own portion and they took the portion of his friend. That's how these gluttons were. And they called him, we continue on to Amud Beis, Ben Chamtzin, a goslin, a robber, Ad Yom Ha'isa, until the day that he died. Because he was a glutton and he was stealing not only his portion he took, but he even took someone else's portion. Now, related to that term that they called that person, Ben Chamtzin, so I'm a rabbi bar Rav Shila, says Micro, what's a pasuk that shows that Chamtzin is a term of being a thief? So now he brings a pasuk at Tehillim that says, Elikai, my God, Plaltein miyad rasha, save me from the hand of the wicked, mikaf me'aval v'chaymetz, from the palm of the crooked ones and the robber. So you see that chaymetz is a term of a thief, and that's why they call them Ben Chamtzin. Rava Amar Mahacha, Rava gives a different source for this definition from a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, Limdu hetiv, learn how to do good, Dirshu mishpat, seek out justice, Ashru chametz, you should support the one that has been robbed. So you see the chametz is a term of rob. Now that, the Musa Haskell is, the ethical imperative is, Ashrei chametz, you should support the one that was robbed, v'alta ashru chametz, and don't support the robbers. The Gemara continues on this theme. Turn around, we'll learn the Braisa. Eisa shana shemes ba Shemnat Tzadik, the year that Shemnat Tzadik passed away, Amlehem, he said to them, B'shana zehu meis, this year he, reference to himself, is going to die. So Amaloi, they said to him, Menayinat Yedea, how do you know? So Amlehem, he said to them, because B'chol Yom Kippurim, every single Yom Kippurim, he mizdamin lizakenechad, there would be an elderly person that would meet me, that would be lavish levanim v'atav levanim, he would be clothed and he would be cloaked in white. Nichnesi mi b'yatzim, he would come inside the holiest of holies with me, he would go out with me. V'hayayim, however, today, nizdamin lizakenechad, I encountered this elderly man, but lavish charim v'atav charim, he was clothed and cloaked in dark and black clothing. Nichnesi mi v'lo yatzim mi, he came in with me, but he didn't go out with me. So the Gemara says that Acha HaRegel Chalash Shibas Yamim Umeis. After the Yamtiv, he was sick for 7 days and he passed away. V'nimnu Achav HaKahanim L'Varach B'Shem. And therefore, his brothers, the Kahanim, they stopped blessing the Birchas Kahanim, that they would do the bracha for the people. They stopped blessing with the Shem HaMefarish, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's four-letter name, because they weren't Kedai anymore, they weren't worthy anymore of saying the Shem Havaya explicitly, and therefore they stopped once it was the Shem that Tzadik had passed away. Now the Gemara continues about the generations going downward in Madregas, in the Beis Hamikdash. So turn by Linda Brisa. Arbom Shana Koidim Chorban HaBayis. For the 40 years before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Lohaya Goril Oyla B'Yamin. The lot of Hashem never came in the right hand. Lohaya Loshan Shal Zaharis Malbin. And the red string that was tied around the head of Lazazel never turned white. And the western candle was never lit after all the other ones when they came to clean it out. And the doors of the sanctuary would open up on their own as if to tell the enemy, come and open and come and take it over because there's no one protecting it anymore. Until Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh got upset at the doors of the Heichel, he said to the doors, Heichel, Heichel, sanctuary, sanctuary. Why are you scaring yourself? I know regarding you that you're ultimately going to be destroyed. And this was the prophecy that Zechariah already said regarding you, that the opening of the doors of the Heichel is an omen that there's the impending destruction. As it says in the Pasuk in Zechariah, Psach Levanin D'Losecha. Levanin, which is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, open up your doors. V'teichel Esh Barazecha. And fire will consume your cedars. However, he was saying, you know, this is still 40 years before, stop opening. Now, Amr Yitzchak ben Tavlai says, Lomen Nikrishmei Levanin. Why is the Beis HaMikdash called Levanin? Shemal ben Avanisein Shal Yisrael, because it whitened the sins of the Jewish people, as we said, that's why it happened to the red string return white. That was the reference why the Beis HaMikdash is called Levanin. Similar, Amr Zutra Bar Tovia says, Lomen Nikrishmei Yar. Why is the Beis HaMikdash called a forest? As we find the Pasuk Melachim Aleph, Beis Yar Halavanan, the house of the forest of Levanan. So Lemelcha, to tell you that Ma Yar Malavlev, just like a forest blossoms, Af Beis HaMikdash Malavlev, so too the Beis HaMikdash, the temple blossoms. As the Amr of Hoshe, as Rav Hoshe said, B'shosh Shabana Shlema Beis HaMikdash, at the time when Shlema HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, not to buy Kominim Megadim Shalzav, he planted all types of fruit trees made out of gold, V'yimitzin Peris Bismanem, and it would bring forth fruits in the proper time, like a regular tree. And when the wind would blow on these trees, so these golden fruits would fall off. Shnemelech says a pasuk in Tehillim, Yirash Kalavanon period, that his fruits should rustle like the fruits of Levanon, which when they rustled, then they would fall down. Now, Umehen Hoysa Parnasa Lekohuna, and from these fruits, it would be the sustenance they would get, they would provide a livelihood for the Kahanim. However, once the enemies, the Yahweh worshippers, came into the sanctuary, Yabshu, they all dried up. Like it says, a pasuk in Nachum, Uferach Levanon Umlo, that the blossoms of Levanon has withered. However, Vasra Kadosh Baruch Hu Lachzir Lana, Kadosh Baruch Hu will ultimately return it to us. Like it says, a pasuk in Yeshaya, Perayach Tifrach V'Sogel, it will blossom, it will surely blossom, and they will be rejoicing. Avgilas V'Ranan, they will even be rejoicing in glad song. Kavod HaLevanon Nitnla, the honor of Levanon will be given to her, and that's what we'll see. Ultimately, these trees made out of gold will be returned to us. Now the Gemara resumes discussing our Mishnah. So we said Nasan al Shnei Asirim, that he would put the two lots that he took out of his two hands, right and left, on the goat that was next to him on the right and the left. So Tanaban, we learn the Brisa. Esra Pa'amim Masker Kohen Gadol Es Hashem Bayam. 10 times during the day of Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol would say the ineffable, he would say the name of Hashem, the four-letter name of Hashem, on that day. Gimel Bevidirishin, 3 times, in the first time he said his confession on his par, as he says, on Hashem, and he wouldn't say Hashem, he would actually say the four-letter name of Hashem, on Hashem Chatasi, on Hashem Kaper, and Lefnei Hashem Titori, he would quote the Pasuk, saying the Shem Havaya. And 3 times again, by the second time, he would make the confession on his par again. And then he would include not only him and his family, but all the Kahanim. And then for the sins of the Jewish people, he would make that confession on the Higot that would be sent away, La'azazel. They would mention again 3 times the name of Hashem. And the 10th time, the Echad Begarolis, and one of them would be, and what we're discussing right now, that of the lottery, where he would say, Lashem Chatez, he would literally say the four-letter name of Hashem. Now, but Kfar Amar Hashem, the Brisa tells us that it had already happened once that he said Hashem's name, V'nishma Kol B'Yericho, and his voice carried so far until it reached Jericho. Now, Amar Abba Bachani says, Mirushalayim L'Yericho, the distance from Jerusalem to Jericho, to Yericho, is 10 parsois, 10 parsois, which is a very far distance. That's how far it traveled when the Kohen Gadol had said Hashem's name. Now, similar that we find that what had happened in the Beis Hamikdash traveled great distances, the Gemara brings many other similar phenomena. Betzir d'losos ha-heichel, the pivot, the hinge of the doors of the heichel, nishma b'shmoyni tchumi Shabbos, was heard a distance of 8 tchumim of Shabbos. Now, the tchum, the boundary of how far a person could walk on Shabbos outside of a city or from where his residence is 2,000 amos. So 2,000 times 8 is 16,000 amos away was how far it was heard, just the hinges of the doors of the heichel. Izim should be riche, the goats in Jericho, again, which is 10 paras away, they would sneeze from the aroma of the keteris, of the incense which was being burnt in the Beis HaMikdash. Similarly, nashim should be riche, the women in Yericho, they didn't have to put on perfume because of the aroma of the keteris which reached so far all the way till Yericho. Kala sheb Yerushalayim, even a bride in Jerusalem who they generally put on a lot of perfume, she didn't have to go ahead and beautify herself with perfume because again of the aroma of the keteris that permeated the entire year of Yerushalayim. Now Amar Reb Elazar ben Diglai, that's the Girsa. Izim hoyula abba bahari michver is the Girsa, that my father had goats on the mountains of Michver, which is the place of a certain locale, v'hoi mes'achis merech keteris, and they would be sneezing because of the aroma of the keteris. Now Amar Reb Chiya bar Avin, Amar Reb Yeshu ben Karchi says, sachli zaken echad, an elderly man told me, pam achas hilachti l'shilai, he says one time he went to Shilai, where that's where the Shechina was before the Beis HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim, and they smelled the smell of keteris just from the walls, which were permeated from the keteris that were made in the times of the Mishkan Shiloh, that I just smelled the walls and I smelled the smell of the keteris. Now the Gemara resumes to the discussion of our Mishnah regarding the Gerolis, the actual procedure of doing the lotteries of the for the two Se'irim of Lashem and Lazazel. So we have Machloikis, and there's two versions of this Machloikis. Amar Biani, Biani says, Aliyas Gerol Mitoch Kalpi, the drawing of the lottery from the box, that's ma'akevis. That is ma'akev the avoid. That withholds the functioning, the validity of the avoid. And that is, if the se'irim are not defined, this one la'ashem and this one la'zazel, through the gairel, and it's only done if the kohen gadol just announces it, that will not be valid. It has to be through the gairel, and therefore he has to see which one he's picking up with his right hand, which one he's picking up with his left hand, to know which one is going to establish it. And that's what he says, that part of the process of the gerul is mi'akev, it's integral. However, the hanacha, the placement of the gerul, the one that he picks out to put it actually on the animal, ein mi'akev, is that does not withhold the validity of the sanctification of each one. And that is, even if he doesn't put it on, it will still be, as long as he established by picking it up, the one with his right hand will be for the one for the right, and the one for the left will be for the one for the left, even if he doesn't actually place it on the animal itself. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yechon Amri says, no, af aliyah einim akevis. Not only isn't the placement of the lottery on that the animal not mi'akev, like Rabbi Yehuda said, but Rabbi Yechon says, even the drawing of the lot, if the kohen just says, he says, you know what, this one's going to be Lashem, this one's going to be Lazazel, it is established without the lottery, because it's not mi'akev, he's just lacking the mitzvah, which is to do that. However, if he doesn't, not only is not the hanach mi'akev, but even the drawing of the lottery is not mi'akev. Now, the Gemara will say, based on the Gemara later on, the Samacham and Aleph, there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah. If the Kohen changes the order of the Avodos in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippurim, that he what's supposed to be later, he ends up doing it earlier. Now, there's a machlokes. Rabbi Nechemiah says that all the Avodos that are done in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippurim with the big day lavan, with the white linen garments, whether they're done bifnim, which what bifnim means to say lifnai v'lifnim, in the holiest of holies, in the kodesh kodeshim, or whether it's done bachutz, which means to say even if it's done in the heichel or in the azar, in the courtyard, all these orders are ma'akev, they're integral. And the reason is because it says in the context of the big deal love, and it says chuka, a statute always says that this is the way it has to be, and therefore it's going to be ma'akev for all the big deal love. However, Behuda argues, he says, no, that chukka was only said in the context of the big day lavan that are done inside the kachay kachim. Therefore, and this is what the Gemara is going to relate now to this machlekes of Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Yanai, the hagrola, this lottery, did not take place inside bifnim. In other words, it for sure was not in the kachay kachim, rather it was out in the azara. It was in the area of bachutz. So based on that, the Gemara says, how will we understand the Masmachlekes Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yechonon? So the Gemara says as follows. Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, so according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the Amad that he says, as we just quoted, that Dvarm ha-nasim be-bigdei lovin mi-bachutz, that regarding the different processes, the avoidas that are done in the Beis HaMikdash, although they're worn with the bigdei lovin, but they're not done bifnim, in the kachim, rather outside, like in this case in the Azara, so loy me'akva, then they do not hold back if one does not do it properly, because it doesn't say chuk on that. Then kuli amalei pliga, then everyone would not argue, and that is even Rabbi Yane would agree, although in the machlekes we just quoted, that he says that the aliyah, that the drawing of the lots, is mi'akiv. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even he would agree, deloy ma'akva, that it's not mi'akiv, because it doesn't say ikuv in that parsha, it doesn't say chukah relating to that. And therefore, even according to Rabbi Yane, in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, if one does not do the drawing of the lots, it will not withhold the validity, and it will be kosher, the animals. Ki pligi, when was this machlekes of Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yechonon, was only alibi de Rabbi Nechemiah. It was according to the opinion of Rabbi Nechemiah. But he said that the concept, the word of chukah, was going on all the different processes done with the big day lovin on that day of Kippurim. Now, the gairul itself, as we had been saying in the Mishnah Yisab until now, were done with the white linen garments, as it says in the parasha, that it should be done when he's wearing the big day lovin. And that is, on that opinion, is where we have the Smachlegis of Rabbi Yana b'Yechonon. And that is, Manda Amar Mi'akva, according to Rabbi Yana, who holds that the drawing of the lots is Mi'akiv. So he's obviously Krem Nechemiah, because it says Chukah regarding anything that you're doing with the Big Day Lovin. This is being done with Big Day Lovin. So it's Mi'akiv. You have to do it as the Torah tells you. There cannot be any deviation. Now, however, Manda Amar Mi'akva, according to Rabbi Yechonon, says that it's not Mi'akiv. But Hanemili, when did we say, which is what Nechemiah's opinion, that it says chukah regarding anything done with the Big Day Lovin? That's an avoida. That's something that's called the service in the Beis HaMikdash. Hagrola lav avoidahi. The lottery, although it's mentioned in the Torah, is not an avoida. Hence, that's not included in what the Torah says chukah, and therefore it's not me'akev, even according to the opinion of Nechemiah, who says that all the avoidas of the Big Day Lovin are me'akev, but that's specifically an avoida, and not the drawing of the lottery, which is not considered an avoida. That's one version of the machlekes of Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yechonon, that they only argue in the opinion of Rabbi Nechemiah, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, everyone would agree that it's not going to be ma'akev because it's not done bifnim, it's only done b'chutz. Igadad Ami, there's also say a different version. To the contrary, Alibi Rabbi Nechemiah, according to the opinion of Rabbi Nechemiah, the Amar mi'akev that he says wherever it said regarding the Big Day Lovin, chukah applied to it and it's mi'akev. So kuli amaloi pligid ma'akev. So everyone would agree, and that is even Rabbi Yechonon, that since it says in that parasha chukah, where you're wearing the white linen garments, which is what you're wearing when you're doing the hagrola, you're doing the lottery, so of course it's going to be me'akev. And if one deviates and doesn't do part of the process, it's not going to work. Ki pliga li Rabbi Yehuda, their home achlikas was regarding the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that said that it's not me'akev generally when it's done outside, in other words, in the courtyard. And that is mandam alei me'akev, according to the opinion that of Rabbi Yechon that says that it's not me'akev, even if you don't draw the lottery. That's obviously Rabbi Yehuda, because it doesn't say chuk over there. Chuk is only if you're doing white linen garments inside the holiest of holies. This is outside in the Azara, and therefore it's not going to be me'akev. It's not going to withhold the validity of the Abayda. However, mandam alei me'akev, the one that says that it is me'akev, that is the opinion of Rabbi Yana, who says that it's going to withhold the validity if one does not draw the lots, is because even in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Shani Hacha. Here it's different that it is me'akiv because the Tanabe Kra, because the Torah repeats Asher Allah, Trezimni. It says two times regarding the drawing of the lots. And that is, you're right. Although, like Rabbi Yechonon wants to say, which that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that it doesn't say chukah regarding such an avoid of the Big Day Lovin outside in the courtyard, and therefore that will not make it me'akiv, but it's me'akiv for a different reason. And that's because when the Torah repeats something, it's what's called Shana Lava Kosev is Le'akev. When the Torah repeats something regarding Kachim, it's saying that it should withhold the validity if one does not do it. And therefore, from that extra pasuk, that's where we learn out that will withhold it. And that's where Rabbi Yehuda is coming from, even the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. That is, there he's going to say that it's going to be Me'akev. And that's the two different versions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yechonon. Are they arguing in Rabbi Nechemi's opinion, or are they only arguing in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda?